Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the February NJEDA Board Meeting. At this time, all phone participants are in a listen-only mode. Attendees on Microsoft Teams should remain muted until it's their turn to speak. Please be advised today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending in person will be acknowledged to speak first, then by Teams, and then by phone. You will be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use their raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press star then one on your telephone keypad to be placed into a queue to provide comment. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing star then two. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. If you require assistance during the call, please press star then zero. I will now turn the conference call over to Chairman Terry O'Toole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. I'd like to call the meeting to order and ask Evan to read the open public meeting notice, please.
Okay. Can everyone hear us here? Good?
Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful. In accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, notice of this meeting has been sent to the Star Ledger, the Burken Record, and the Trentonian at least 48 hours prior to this meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State.
Thank you, Evan. Daniel, could you call the roll, please?
Chairman Terrence O'Toole?
Present.
Vice Chairman Charles Sarlo?
Here.
Phil Elagia? Fred Dumont?
Here.
Maciel Medina Ferrara?
Here.
Aisha Glover?
Present.
Jewel Antoine Johnson?
Here.
Josh Weinrich?
Here.
Aaron Cruz from the Governor's Office?
Here.
Roberto Soberanis, representing Acting Commissioner Kevin Jarvis?
Present.
Mark Gorfee, representing Acting Commissioner Susan Ox.
Here.
Elizabeth Dragon, representing Acting Commissioner Ed Potosnick.
Here.
Tavine Mistry, for Acting Commissioner Aaron Binder. Acting State Treasurer Aaron Binder.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Danielle. I'll present some brief chairman's remarks. First, good morning and welcome to the NJEDA's February board meeting. Hope everyone is able to manage through the weather. This is our first board meeting with Evan as the EDA's CEO and our new ex officio board members in attendance. New public board member Tim Hillman cannot make it today, but I'd like to welcome everyone. I'm sure I speak for all of the existing board members when I say we look forward to working with you. And I'm sorry we have to have our first board meeting as a mix of in-person and virtual, but look forward to being together physically in March in Trenton. Evan's breadth of experience and unique perspective on economic development strategies will help propel the authority forward in its mission to equitably grow the state's economy. We look forward to working with Evan to support Governor Mikey Sherrill's vision to advance affordability, strengthen our state's businesses, and create lasting opportunity for every resident of New Jersey. Under the Sherrill administration, the NJEDA will continue its crucial investments in real estate development, small business, clean energy initiatives aimed at affordability, and strategic support for longstanding and emerging industries, ensuring the Garden State holds its position as a national leader in industries such as life sciences and AI. Additionally, the authority will work towards implementing the recommendations of Governor Sherrill's Economic Development and Innovation Action Team by expanding and refining the NJEDA's suite of products to support more small businesses and innovative startups, cut red tape, and invest in historically disadvantaged communities. Today, the NJEDA is continuing its commitment to revitalize communities across the state through support for transformative development projects, which create jobs, improve the quality of life, and contribute to neighborhood vibrancy and vitality. The board today will consider an Aspire Award for Cooper University Hospital in Camden. That award will expand employment, help expand critical health services and educational opportunities, helping to drive Camden's resurgence and advance South Jersey's leadership in medical technology. This follows an Aspire approval for Monmouth Medical Center earlier this year, which was the first hospital approval under the program. The project exemplifies the NJEDA strategy of making meaningful investments into projects and programs that provide significant benefits for communities and residents while driving growth and strengthening the state's economic competitiveness. Now, I'm going to turn the meeting over to Evan for his CEO's report.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you not only for this moment at this meeting, but your confidence and the whole board's confidence in me. The same to go absolutely to Governor Sherrill as well. It's been really unbelievable, not quite months yet. And I'd say just what has stuck with me, I just think about an event I did in Newark a couple of weeks ago at Terrell Homes. And Terrell Homes is at the very edge of Newark. It's right near where 1 and 9 gets off onto Raymond Boulevard in the East Ward near the industrial area, like part of the Ironbound a lot of people don't know exists. Terrell Homes was one of the earliest public housing projects in America. And because of that, it was getting quite old. Part of it remains abandoned. But the part of it I went to was demolished 5 or 6 years ago. And now there's a beautiful, beautiful new housing complex. There are 69 affordable units for seniors. And the event was really powerful for two reasons. I think first, when I first started working with state government a few administrations ago, that wasn't the kind of thing that the EDA would be involved in. And the EDA did a lot of important work, still does, obviously, in the kind of traditional sectors. But the fact that I could be there and that our teams and our tax credits and our know-how and effort created those units, and sitting across from me were some of the ladies who were going to be living there, many of whom didn't think after they lost their homes when they were demolished that they'd have a home again where they wanted to live, and they do. HMFA was part of that. City of Newark was part of that. A lot of different folks worked together to make that possible. But to me, it's just something that was seeing them have that opportunity, again, that they didn't think would be possible because of the EDA being so inventive, because of the EDA expanding its ambit where it matters. It's powerful. And I think today in the agenda, you see the breadth of that power. From the green workforce training grants we have, from the Aspires that the chair spoke about earlier, to the Innovation Evergreen investments we're going to be seeking approval for today. It's incredible how many different areas that we touch and kind of stick to this core mission of having a very broad understanding, deservedly, of what we should do and what we can do. And so I think lastly, we're about to round the corner of February, which means that it will be the end of Black History Month. Being at Terrell Homes, being in Newark, but then thinking about all the resources that we have very intentionally, providing resources for businesses and residents and communities of color, like Newark, like Trenton, like Camden, like Bridgewater, like everywhere in New Jersey. That's a big deal for me, too. So we're going to be having a tea, I think, at the end of the month. Hopefully we had a snow issue with one of our other events, but that's, I think, something where, again, I really like to see how the EDA has expanded the understanding of itself under the leadership of this board, the leadership of the team, and, of course, now Governor Sherrill. So with that, let's move along with the agenda.
All right. Thanks, Evan. The next item is to approve the previous month's board minutes. There are two sets of minutes for approval today. First, before you are the minutes from the January 15th NJEDA board meeting for review and approval, could I hear a motion to approve the minutes, please?
Second motion.
Chair Fred Dumas.
Okay, Fred, I'll consider
Fred
that
Dumas
a second.
Second it, Chair.
Yeah. Any further discussion? Hearing none, could we have a vote? All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. Second, before you are the minutes from the January 15th executive session of the NJEDA board for review and approval. Could I hear a motion to approve?
Dragon motion.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Second?
Antoine Johnson, second.
Thanks, Jewel. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed recusals or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. Next, we'll move to the public comment section of the meeting. I will now open the public comment portion of the meeting. First, I'm going to ask Danielle Esser to share NJEDA's public comment policy and process for this board meeting.
Thank you, Chairman. Members of the public who wish to speak during the public comment portion of the meeting will be acknowledged to speak first in person, then by Teams, and then by phone. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Each person will be acknowledged to speak in order of hands raised. Once acknowledged, please unmute yourself to provide your comment. All members of the public must remain muted following the public comment portion of the meeting. A staff member may mute you if you are unable to remain muted. Members of the public attending by phone who are interested in providing comment will be advised to press star, then one, to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue to provide comment. I'll now go over NJEDA's public comment policy, which is also available on the NJEDA website. Each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization affiliation, and the topic on which the remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired. A person may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure enough time is available for all those who wish to speak. Related documents, printed comments, or materials may be attached to an email. We look forward to receiving your public comments at this time.
Thank you, Danielle. Now, first, we're going to go to anyone in person in the boardroom in Trenton. Danielle, is there anyone there?
We don't have anyone, Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Next, we're going to go to members of the public on Teams who have a hand raised. Can we see if there's anyone on Teams?
We do have some folks on Teams with their hands raised. The first person is Cheryl McCamp. Please unmute yourself.
Good morning. My name is Cheryl McCants. I am the founder and CEO of Impact Consulting Enterprises, a marketing communication agency. My comment is really a question. With regard to the governor's decision to launch the $5 million World Cup Community Initiative and understanding that the authority is now responsible for the implementation of that, is there an anticipated timeline by which any RFPs, RFIs, RFQs, or guidance or direction will be shared with the public? As we know, time is of the essence with the World Cup happening so soon. Thank you.
Chair, I'm happy to respond. Good.
Yes, please. Go ahead, Evan.
And hello, by the way, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
So we anticipate that we will be bringing the item for the World Cup programming to our board at the next meeting. So that is March the 12th. Because this is a little truncated, both with the timing of FanFest, the recency of the cancellation, and then this board meeting being kind of halfway because we had to move the last date. The goal is to get it out on the 12th. We understand that it will then, assuming we get board approval, have to move much more quickly than usual, to your point, given the timing of the events. So the goal would be there'll be enough detail in that board memorandum for the market to have an understanding of what's coming, and that we will be trying to design it in such a way where, you know, we collectively, host committee, other entities that will be partners with us, can push out the money as quickly as possible so you can plan for amazing events in June and July.
Thank you.
Okay, next person who has a comment is Mara Collingsgrew. Please unmute yourself. Mara Collingsgrew, with your hand raised on Teams.
My apologies, I was having difficulty unmuting there. Thank you. Good morning. Mara Collingsgrew with New Jersey Citizen Action, here to address a few comments to the Aspire incentives that are on the agenda for today. And congratulations to the new chair for your appointment. We had concerns about the allocation of to the Aspire program that these projects deal with in the legislature. There was an addition of raising the cap on this program $3 billion at a time when our budget is under severe stress with federal cuts and all the other issues that we have. In fact, Governor Sherrill actually talked about the testimony given that day and the fact that this was not a thoughtful way for the legislature to be dealing with budgeting. So our concerns go to what we saw that was a bit cryptic in the legislation, that the projects would be able to receive a waiver from the net benefits test. This is a protection that was adopted by the EDA reform law in 2020, and it's our position we should not approve any project that cannot pass that test and should need to have to substantiate they can deliver on that. We also have great concern about the movement of what these projects cost and how many billions are going out in addition to the $11 billion that was already allocated for projects. Again, we would just ask for far more transparency, far more detail, none of which was available to the public in the announcement. These projects being on this agenda came with 24 hours notice. We would ask for a lot more accountability and transparency so that the public can have the opportunity to really weigh in and we can make decisions about whether or not this is the best use of billions in the New Jersey state budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person who has their hand raised on Teams is Eric Benson. Please go ahead and unmute, please.
Yes. Hi, good morning. My name is Eric Benson, and I'm speaking on behalf of For the Many, Budget Coalition, and it's a broad group of community, labor, faith, and advocacy organizations across New Jersey. Echoing Maura, I want to express concerns about the two Aspire tax credit applications on today's agenda. The projects combined could receive hundreds of millions of dollars in public subsidies, and this at a time when New Jersey is facing a $1.5 billion and growing structural budget deficit. While at the same time, we're seeing families across the state struggling with rising housing, food, utility costs. And just because the Economic Development Authority is authorized to disperse funds doesn't mean we have to hit and meet and max our caps. Every dollar committed to these programs is one less that we have to meet a long list of urgently needed programs to help New Jersey residents. I am concerned also about the lack of transparency. These applications are moving forward with only 48 hours public notice, and this is including during a snowy state of emergency. There's virtually no public information about these projects, their financing, or their public benefit. And this might be the way that it's always been done, but I think with new leadership here on the board at the state level, this is an opportunity to think about doing things differently. We want to see meaningful public input that it runs, you know, along with the governor's stated commitments to transparency and accountability. And then I also remain concerned about the recent legislative changes in the final days of the last lame duck session that it may exempt some projects from the net benefits test, which was there meant to ensure taxpayers receive a real return on their investment. I can't tell. They didn't have the information. Are these projects, are they subject to that standard? And what are the protections that remain for the public interest? So just given the challenges facing our state, and scale these proposed subsidies, we are urging the board to table these applications today, table the two Aspire applications until full public information, project information is publicly available, the net benefits, public benefits are clearly demonstrated, and the fiscal impact is weighed alongside the broader state budget needs. And the governor's budget address is in 2 weeks from now, time, less than that. So this would allow for full public disclosure, meaningful community input, and really a broader evaluation of whether these investments align with New Jersey's really urgent and pressing budget priorities. So thanks for taking the time to comment today.
Thank you. I see another hand raised. Andrew Hornback, please unmute.
Hi, good morning. My name is Andrew Hornbeck. I am the founder and CEO of Hornbeck Strategic Services. My question is directly related to the Office of Strategic Defense Investment that was initiated last September under Governor Murphy. My understanding is that the only action that has ever occurred with regards to the Office of Strategic Defense Investment was that the announcement happened. I'm curious if Governor Sherrill intends to continue this program and when we might have a timeline to see any kind of efforts moving forward. Thank you.
Are there any more comments in the queue?
I'm not seeing anybody else on Teams.
So I'm going to sort of address the two comments regarding Aspire, and then I would ask, is there someone who can, okay, and I'll turn it to the deputy CEO to discuss the last questioner's question. I would just say on Aspire, we're working within a framework, some of which has existed since the passage of the Economic Recovery Act, which, important to remember, you know, occurred in 2020 or very early 2021, I think, in the heart of COVID. There's been several changes, as the commenters have pointed out, since that time period. We are, you know, planning to move for the consideration of these two Aspire applications as they fit within the existing statutory and regulatory framework, and it's incumbent on us to appreciate that. I would just say, like, the issues that are being raised, we and the governor take seriously. The taxpayer deserves to get as much possible out of these programs. What that means and how we calculate it, you all know, is a subject of much discussion and analysis, but I feel confident that with the standards that we have and what these projects deliver, especially since they've had some time in our review process at this point, they meet. I do want to leave plenty of room for the governor and the new administration in terms of how she and the team and our administration here at EDA will move forward. But at this time, confident of the importance and impact of these projects as we move them forward today. But it's no mystery the budget environment that we're in. It's no mystery what's coming or not coming from Washington. So it really is important that we address these issues as best we can and to do so expeditiously at this time, again, given the challenges you correctly cite. So more on this, you know, as we continue down the road. But I'll turn it to the deputy CEO to discuss the strategic defense question.
Thank you, Evan. Good morning. Hi, Mr. Hornbeck. Thank you very much for your comment. Yes, since the office was created last fall, our team internally has been working with our various military installations to get our arms around all the work that they're doing so we can ensure that we have a full scope and picture of the impact they have on New Jersey's economy and the nation more broadly. But I'd love to get your contact information and we can follow up with you more directly. Right now, where I would say we are in the information gathering and analysis phase, but certainly can connect with you offline to follow up.
Thanks, Evan and Mary. I think the last we need to check if there's anyone on the phone, Danielle, is that correct?
Yeah.
Operator, is there anyone on the phone who wishes to make a comment?
Ladies and gentlemen, for members of the public on the phone, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question by pressing star then two. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, you may please press star then one at this time. One moment, please, for our first question. Our first question comes from Patricia Lisley with Lifted Jersey LLC. Your line is open.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good morning. Good morning, CEO Evan, Chair, and members of the board. My name is Patricia Grimsley, and I'm representing Lifted Jersey LLC. I am here to ask this board to help ensure New Jersey's social equity cannabis program fulfills its promise, not only in policy, but in practice. Nearly 3 years ago, we were awarded a conditional social equity license. Since then, we have followed all rules, pursued a municipal partnership in good faith, and invested significant personal resources to open a compliant, community-centered business in Roselle. Yet today we remain stalled. After receiving encouragement from township officials, we secured a location, signed a lease, and invested in architectural and compliance-related work. 6 months later, during a planning review, we were told the site was suddenly ineligible because of its proximity to a field owned by a school. This is information that should have been identified at the outset. That reversal left us bearing the financial burden of a process that we trusted. To date, we have spent more than $90,000 with no clear path to converting to an annual license. Our municipal resolution remains in limbo. Communications have been inconsistent, and our application is under review with little to no transparency. Meanwhile, well-resourced operators appear to be able to move forward, which raises serious concerns about whether social equity applicants are being prioritized. This feels less like an equity pathway and more like navigating the barriers this program was meant to remove. We are not asking for special treatment. We are asking for fair access to the pathway we were promised. What we specifically need now is support in three areas. First, we need help facilitating or expediting the review with the borough of Roselle. Second, we need coordinated technical support from state partners to help us identify a viable path forward. And third, we need flexibility with our seed equity grant timeline so we're not penalized for delays outside of our control. Lifted Jersey is ready to open, to hire locally, and invest back into our community. We simply need the system to work with us rather than against us. I thank you for your time and consideration, and I look forward to having our concerns addressed in earnest.
Chair, if you don't mind, I'd like to turn it over to Ty Cooper.
Sure.
Sorry, just lobby. And Ty will.
Sure, no problem. Thank you so much, Evan and Chairman. First of all, thank you so much for even calling in. I know this has been a stressful process for several applicants. One, when you were deemed a social equity candidate, that goes through CRC, which has to justify and validate that rationale based on past circumstances. For the grants that we have at EDA, we've been on top of those. We've also offered extensions for our previous joint venture grantees that needed more time. This is something I've brought up consistently, so I understand your frustration. The municipal process is one that we unfortunately don't have any control over, but it is something that I would love to make sure you're in communication with CRC and ourselves as well. And then as far as the grant that you got from EDA, are there problems with the specific EDA grant, or is it more so just the system involved with the municipality and then also with CRC?
I'm not sure if her line is still open.
Yeah, she may be cut off, I think.
All right, Danielle, can you forward me her information? And again, this is something that we know is an issue. Again, municipalities, we don't have any control over what the municipalities do, but we can work with CRC to see if there's different levels of enforcement. But please make sure you forward me her information.
And then can you hear me?
Ask her. Oh, now I can hear you. There you go.
Okay, I don't know what happened. I can answer
totally okay.
Definitively that there's issues with the municipality. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two is our seed grant is going to expire. We've had to put in monthly requests for extension, and May is going to be when it finally expires. With CRC itself, people are responsive and nice, but nothing moves. So I don't know, you know, what to say there.
Okay, so two things. Let me check back with my team for the extension. Again, I know that with joint ventures, we had to add on extensions for the same exact reason for 12 of our candidates. That was beyond their control. It was issues directly with the municipality as well. So when I say this is an issue we are aware of and that there do need to be changes. So if possible, can you just make sure that Danielle has your information and I will follow up with you today and make sure that my team follows up with you regarding the extension for seed? for our seed program, not for the social equity, but for seed equity for our programs. I can make sure we follow up and see if there's a way just to allow more extensions on that end. We may have to come back to the board, Evan, as we did before for joint ventures, but if that's something that you're open to, we can move forward with that.
Absolutely. And how do I give Danielle my information?
So, Patricia, I'll just give you my email address. It's danielle.esser@njeda.gov. So it's danielle.e@njeda.gov. And just email me. And
I'm sorry, Danielle. You're moving fast. You're talking faster than my fingers. So that's Danielle, danielle.esser@njeda.gov. Okay, I think I have it. Danielle Esser at EDA.
Danielle.esser@njeda.gov.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Danielle, operator, anyone else on the phone?
We have no further questions at this time.
Okay, great. I will consider the public comment section of the meeting closed. We're now going to move to action items. First, as we do at every board meeting, brief committee reports. The NJEDA Policy Committee met on January 29th and considered a number of actions which are being presented today, including the creation of the Clean Energy Fellowship Program for university participants and a qualified investment approval under the NJ Innovation Evergreen Fund. Staff will present today. Also, the NJEDA Audit Committee had its quarterly meeting February 24th, yesterday, and discuss various compliance and reporting matters. The first voting item under economic transformation is the Clean Energy Fellowship Program for university participants.
Am I good? Can everybody
yes.
hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Good morning, everybody. Ani Adav, Project Officer for Workforce Innovation Partnerships Team. Today, the members of the authority are being asked to approve the creation of the Clean Energy Fellowship Program for university participants. This will utilize $1.82 million from the EDA-DEP Green Council MOU. The members are also being asked for a delegation of authority to the CEO to approve individual applications from these universities, to enter into grant agreements with the awarded applicants, and extend any program deadlines if necessary. Lastly, the members are being asked to approve waiver of the application fee for the grant program, as the EDA's administrative costs are going to be covered by REGI administrative funding. So through this new grant program, the EDA tends to expand upon the Wynn Institute Fellowship model and launch a new Clean Energy Fellowship Program. This is going to offer two cohorts from 2026 to 2027 and 2027 to 2028 academic years. The program is going to allow for a broad spectrum of research in clean energy technologies, ranging from solar, geothermal, green hydrogen, and much more. This is an opportunity for both undergraduate and graduate students in New Jersey to conduct paid independent research under the mentorship of a faculty advisor. The students will participate in monthly clean energy events that are hosted by the EDA, and then at the end of the year, they will present their research findings at the Clean Energy Research Symposium. Eligible applicants will be New Jersey research universities classified as either R1, which is very high research activity, or R2, which is high research activity. These universities are Rutgers, Rowan, Montclair, NJIT, Kane, Princeton, Stevens Institute, and Seton Hall. Each grantee is going to be allocated fellowship spots that are proportional to its student enrollment size. So universities with a total enrollment above 55,000 students is going to be allocated 6 fellowship spots, and universities with a total enrollment less than 55,000 students will be allocated 3 fellowship spots. The final grant amounts are going to be determined after the grantee completes their fellowship selection process. So final grant amounts per grantee will be $13,500 per undergraduate per year, $27,000 per graduate per year, $500 for any travel, materials, equipment, or related costs per year, $2,000 honorarium per faculty advisor, and then 10% of the total grant amount for indirect costs. The term of the MOUs will be 2 years, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Any board members with questions or comments on this program? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Dragon motion.
Josh, I'll consider that a second. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Thank you. Next, Cremona on a NJ Innovation Evergreen Fund qualified investment.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. I will start today's presentation with a few quick program updates since we last presented to the board in December. The team has now closed agreements and collected proceeds from all Evergreen tax credit auction participants. As a result, we added $69 million to the Evergreen Fund and currently have unallocated and available for investment capital of $80 million. The slides I have here represents a quick snapshot of the current Evergreen portfolio. We have 18 approved portfolio investments into 12 New Jersey companies for a total investment amount of $20.7 million. There are two transactions that were approved under delegated authority since the December board meeting. We approved a $400,000 investment into Polygon Systems along Tech Council Ventures. It was our second investment into Polygon Systems. As a reminder, Polygon is a Princeton University spin-out that has designed and manufactures filters and commercial solutions for microplastics removal from freshwater bodies. The second investment that was approved under delegated authority was a $1 million investment alongside a California-based venture firm, UP Partners, into a South Jersey company called Lula Commerce. Lula has developed a digital platform that enables convenience stores to manage and integrate their operations into the digital marketplace. They have experienced rapid growth since launching in 2020, and currently serve 2,000 stores nationwide. The investment recommendation today is an application by SOSV Investments for a co-investment of up to $4 million into the Series A preferred stock financing round of Princeton Critical Minerals, a lithium extraction company working out of the Hux Accelerator in Newark. Upon approval, staff will reserve an additional $265,000 for direct administrative expenses and $200,000 for related management fees. This is the second application under the Evergreen program by SOSV Investments. SOSV is an established EDA partner, including managing the Hux Accelerator in Newark and named to manage the Plasma Forge Accelerator in Princeton through the Authority Strategic Innovation Centers. Princeton Critical Minerals, formerly known as Purely, is a company known to the EDA. It has been supported by a number of CSIC grants. It emerged from the Princeton University's ecosystem for innovation and entrepreneurship. The company has developed a proprietary technology that enhances lithium production from evaporation ponds. Traditional brine extraction, widely used in South America, requires pumping lithium-rich brine into large evaporation ponds, consuming vast amounts of water and land while impacting fragile arid ecosystems. PCM's solution accelerates the evaporation process, significantly reducing water, energy, chemical usage, and land requirements. By improving the efficiency of existing ponds, technology can also minimize the need for constructing additional evaporation sites, offering both economic and environmental benefits. The company has been successful in raising capital from private investors and grants. They also have early commercial success and have secured $1.1 million in purchase orders with major players in South America. The $11 million Series A financing round is expected to provide PCM with a 50-month runway and will be used to fast-track commercialization, advance R&D projects, and grow the team. Thank you for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
All Chairman, I always loved that slide you put up at the beginning that sort of showed the summary of our investments in this program. And I assume it goes unsaid that we're happy with SOSV as a partner.
Yes, we are. Very much so. Yeah. I mean, we have a very good working relationship, and they have been a great and responsive partner.
Any board members have questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Move it, Weinrich.
Thanks, Josh. Second?
Second, Elijah.
Thanks, Phil. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the investment is approved. Good luck. Congratulations. Next, we are going to move to authority matters and Maggie White on the recommendation for allocation of funds.
Thank you, Chairman, and good morning, everyone. The members of the board are asked to approve the allocation of additional funds to the authority's contract for business attraction and marketing with Choose New Jersey for the continued execution of the name, image, and likeness campaign in partnership with Rutgers University. The authority competitively procured this contract in 2023 with Choose New Jersey, achieving the highest total score among all respondents, and awarded a contract originally valued at $14.5 million for a three-year term, which is up this June. The board has since approved two requests for additional funding, $6.8 million in March 2025 and $6.25 million in July 2025, as these initiatives grew in scope and impact. That funding has supported numerous campaigns elevating New Jersey's reputation as a top place to live, work, and raise a family. And this includes the This Is New Jersey campaign, which ended up generating over 4.3 billion in global impressions in 2024, as well as AI-focused initiatives promoting New Jersey as the next home for AI, which you can see on the presentation slide. It also funded strategic marketing partnerships with local sports teams, including the Jets, Devils, 76ers, and Rebels across in-arena, digital, and social platforms. In 2024, they built on that work and launched a NIL campaign with Rutgers in 2024. This was designed to modernize New Jersey's brand and connect with emerging audiences, and it leverages Rutgers football and basketball student athletes to showcase a safe economy, quality of life, and vibrant communities. Approval today will support the final phase of this campaign's continuation and expansion, which includes new athlete partnerships, updated creative materials, and expanded placements promoting New Jersey as a destination for tourism, entrepreneurship, and investment. And this campaign and associated scope of work were actually included in the original 2023 RFP and represent a continuation of work already approved under the current contract. Funding comes from the supplemental appropriations bill passed on January 20th of this year, allocating $26 million to the NGDA for events and marketing, of which $20 million is otherwise obligated. Based on the continued appropriation for the same marketing purposes, members are asked to approve the remaining $6 million to increase the contract with Choose New Jersey to continue the NIL campaign with Rutgers University. I'm happy to answer any questions support may have.
Maggie, when does the contract expire?
It expires in June 2026.
Okay, 26, okay, this June.
Yeah.
Any board members' comments or questions?
Curious, this is Aisha. I'm curious if we have any similar contracts with other universities in the state.
We don't have any at this moment. Rutgers was selected given they're a Big Ten competitor, making it the most nationally recognizable sports teams from New Jersey. But there's been sustained engagement here, and particularly among the target sector of next generation talent. So there's always opportunities for expanding.
Got it. Thank you.
Maggie, this is Charles. Do we know how this additional $6 million is going to be deployed? Is it to continue some of the existing outreach, or is it like new efforts, new programs within this overall program? Any feedback on that?
It's to continue the existing work. There will be new athletes as they come in the new year based on their following count on various social media platforms, but it will also create new content that Choose New Jersey can put in local arenas that they play in.
Okay. Thank you, Maggie.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Move it, Weinrich.
Thanks, Josh. Second?
Second, Ferrara.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? I think I can't remember if I voted aye. hearing none, the motion is passed. Next, we're going to move to the Incentives Committee report from Josh, Committee Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The NJEDA Incentives Committee met on January 28th and on February 20th to discuss actions coming to the board today, including two Aspire tax credit applications. Staff will present these items as part of today's agenda. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. The first item under Aspire is Parkside Camden Urban Renewal. Annie is going to present.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. We are asking the board to consider the modification of a previously approved residential project in Camden that will result in reducing the award from $17.7 million to $11.5 million in Aspire tax credits, with the difference of about $6 million going back into the regular Aspire bucket available to fund future projects. The project approved by the board in December of 24 consisted of two development sites collectively known as Parkside 1 and Parkside 2. It included 30 fully affordable residential units and a commercial space that intended to house a federally qualified health center. The space for the SQHC was to be leased by the operator, Osborne Family Health Center. The applicant has elected to proceed with only the residential component of the originally approved project. The decision to remove the SQHC component is driven by recent changes in federal and state Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement frameworks, which have made it challenging to support the rent levels required for a new medical office space amid ongoing market volatility. Additionally, the project's overall viability is contingent upon securing other state and federal subsidies with a March deadline that requires both Aspire and LIHTC approvals. The project is also at risk of losing tax credit investor pricing if it does not close within the required time frame. And restructuring the project to exclude the SQHC component improves overall feasibility and supports timely residential and financial closing. And the applicant has since secured a final commitment from HMFA, which is contingent upon today's Aspire approval of the modification. Ownership of the applicant, Parkside Camden Urban Renewal, and all entities involved will remain the same, with Parkside Business and Community and Partnership, Inc. serving as the lead developer and Tenere Solutions as the co-applicant. The total development cost after the modification of the project is $22.1 million, and excluding ineligible costs, the total project costs are $19.2 million. As I previously mentioned, the project is receiving LIHTC, and so HMFA's deferred developer fee model was used to measure the appropriate and reasonable rate of return. And even with the change in the capital stack, the total developer fee still confirms to HMFA's policy. At the time of the project's original approval, Camden was not designated as a government-restricted municipality, and therefore the project is subject to the 2.0 rules with regard to the 20% equity requirement of total development costs, and the award caps of 60% of total eligible costs are applicable here. And that's how we arrived at the new award of $11.5 million. Issuance of the tax credits are contingent upon the applicant submitting documentation evidencing the post-approval conditions, and the applicant has requested an extension giving them until May to provide the required documentation. Staff is recommending the approval of this modification based off the limited nature of the project's requested changes. The modification addresses timing and financing constraints resulting from changes in external funding requirements and does not alter the fundamental characteristics of the project, including its location, ownership structure, and the project will remain a fully affordable residential development as originally approved by the board back in December of 24. I'm happy to address any questions.
Annie, have we done something like this before, reduced an award like this?
No, so this is the program's first modification of an original award.
I mean, as you explained it, it seems pretty sensible and straightforward, right? The residential part of the project is going forward, in effect.
Correct. So the residential component remains unchanged, still, going to commit to the 30 units. The sites still will be, the units will be split between two sites which are adjacent to each other. It's just simply omitting the space that was originally intended for the FQHC, I think about 30,000 square feet.
Any comments or questions from the board?
Chairman, just to your point about sensibility, the modification construct is designed to help us resize and lower an award where needed to enable it to move forward. It's not about adding credits going forward.
Right, good. Any other comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve the amendment, or I guess the modification as suggested?
Dragon motion.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Second?
Antoine Johnson, second.
Thank you, Jewel. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the modification is approved. Annie, are you going to do, you're going to do Cooper as well, correct?
Correct.
So the next item is the Cooper Health System Aspire Award.
So we are requesting board consideration of the following two items. One is an approval of the transfer of up to $292.4 million in unreserved Aspire tax credit funds from the non-transformative project allocation to the transformative. The law allows for a transfer of up to $500 million per fiscal year at a 65-35% split between northern and southern counties. And we have been drawing down on fiscal year 25 and 26 for the previous Monmouth Medical transfers, and now today with Cooper transfer. There's currently about $115 million left in the transformative bucket that includes. And the transfer would include $190 million at 65% awarded for projects in the north and $102.3 million at 35% for projects in the south. That's the first item. The second item is $218.2 million in Aspire tax credits for the Cooper Health System, a New Jersey nonprofit corporation. The Transformative Health Service Center project known as Cooper Resiliency is comprised of new construction and renovations to the existing building, or several existing buildings. The project includes a 216,000 square foot emergency department expansion, infrastructure upgrades, private patient rooms, a neonatal intensive care unit, operating rooms, and a regional medical command center supporting emergency, trauma, surgical, and intensive care services. The Cooper Resiliency Project is part of a broader multi-phase development initiative known as Project Imagine, an expansion of the applicant's health sciences campus in Camden. Actually, maybe now is a good time. Do we have the, yeah, okay. If I can point everyone's attention to the slides, I just want to make, a quick distinction in what's included in the Aspire project, just because Project Imagine is this like larger development. So we have existing renovations to the Roberts Pavilion and the Kellerman building, which is like the medium gray to the right. And then there's the new building in the dark gray shaded area on the image to the right for clarification. So Cooper Health System is both the applicant and lead developer on the project. The Cooper Health System is the ultimate parent and controlling entity of an integrated healthcare system organized to support its academic, clinical, and research missions. And through its planning and design and construction and real estate departments, Cooper's development activities include ground-up construction, adaptive reuse, major renovations, and multi-phase expansions through its regional footprint. Total development cost of the project is $408.9 million. And to determine the appropriate award amount, ineligible costs under program rules were excluded, resulting in eligible costs of $408.9 million. The required developer equity contribution is 10% since the project is located in a government-restricted municipality, which amounts to about $40.8 million, and the developers contributing $81.7 million, meeting the minimum requirement. Project financing consists of two sources, a construction loan and the remaining balance in equity. The project is an owner-occupied project with Cooper as the sole tenant. The project's financing gap analysis is based on financing of a real estate development project with expenses and revenues from a developer landlord's perspective. We analyze the hypothetical model financing that assumed a typical developer arrangement with a commercial tenant to determine if there is a gap. And with the benefit of the Aspire tax credit, the projected return on investment exceeds the maximum rate of return for comparable healthcare center developments in Camden County. As a transformative project located in Camden, it is eligible to receive up to 80% of the total eligible cost, or $400 million, whichever is less. And to prevent over-enrichment beyond the maximum return, the proposed award has been reduced from the max possible award of $327 million based off that 80% cap to $218.2 million, resulting in about 53% of total eligible cost. The project is not subject to a net benefit test as it is a healthcare center. And per program rule, the commercial transformative project has to meet special economic importance requirements, and the applicant has demonstrated that it meets the requirement in a couple of ways. So one, its association with a location on the same campus as an academic, medical, and research institution. They have demonstrated that through their partnership with Rowan University. One, and two, it's located at a state-designated trauma center, and Cooper University is a state-designated level one trauma center. Based on these factors, staff is recommending board approval of an Aspire amount in the an Aspire award in the amount of $218.2 million and the transfer of funds in the amount of $292.4 million. Happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Andy. That was a lot to cover. And Cooper has will proceed on this basis with the $218 million award, since it's less than the we reduced the award from what was originally calculated, correct?
Correct. We have been having conversations with them, so we kind of flagged the, you know, concerns in the reduction, and they have agreed to the new award.
Any other comments or questions from board members? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Move it, Josh.
Thank you. Second?
Dragon, second.
Thank you, Elizabeth. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions?
Hi, Chairman. This is Jewel Antoine Johnson. I will recuse myself from the vote on this matter due to an existing professional relationship with Cooper.
Noted. Anyone else? Okay, the motion is approved. Next, we're going to move to the Real Estate Committee section of the meeting. Charles, do you want to give a few words in advance of the Real Estate Committee meeting item before the board today?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. The NJDEA Real Estate Committee met on January 29th to consider and review one item, that being entering into a 2026 pilot agreement with the City of Camden for the Camden Amphitheater, which is also known as the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. Staff will now present this to the board for consideration. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Charles. Bruce, you're going to do this item. This is the payment in lieu of taxes on the Camden Amphitheater?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. So today we're seeking approval for the authority to enter into a 2026 pilot agreement with the City of Camden to make the statutory required tax payment, as well as an additional payment to the City of Camden for the tenant from the tenant's rent. Just background on this project: in the mid-1990s, the authority and Sony Music Pace Partnership, which later became known as Live Nation Worldwide, jointly developed the 25,000-seat Camden Amphitheater, known today as the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. The authority at that time acquired, remediated, prepared the site, including the infrastructure and utilities, and has since been maintaining administrative tasks on the facility since inception. We are here today because there was a 1996 pilot agreement, which expired at the end of 2025. And under that initial pilot agreement, instead of tax instead of rent being paid from Live Nation. There was a ticket surcharge, which started at 50 cents per ticket and rising to $2.50 per ticket, which came through the EDA, but all proceeds went directly to the city of Camden in the original pilot agreement, with the EDA receiving no proceeds. The average payment from that pilot agreement over the last 5 years was a payment of $874,000 to the city of Camden. Today, we are bringing forward a 2026 pilot agreement, and this corresponds with the 20-year lease renewal that Live Nation agreed into, which started January 1st of 2026. The annual rent is now due on this facility, which is the greater of three options: $1.2 million, 3% of the tenant's gross profits, or the real estate assessed value by the city, which currently resides at about $597,000. So what we are doing today, this EDA is required to pay the real estate taxes on the facility, which is $597,000, which is statutorily required because we have a commercial tenant in there. We're bringing before you a new pilot agreement, which is going to take 80% of what the rent that we will collect will go to the city of Camden, and 20% will come to the EDA to collect administrative expenses that we have not collected on since the inception of this project. The reason we are doing that is because the city of Camden was going to take a significant hit from the $874,000 that they would have received previously to the $597,000 that they would receive under the new requirement based on the lease that we have today. At the end of the day, it benefits both the EDA, as we have a new revenue stream for administrative tasks that we've had, as well as the City of Camden and EDA in partnership. The better the facility does, the more we will both collect under this agreement, as hopefully we would utilize the 3% of the tenant's gross profits. So again, the recommendation today is to enter into this 2026 pilot agreement as presented in Exhibit A.
Bruce, just to be clear, the minimum, is it the greater of one of these three tests?
It is the greater of. So if we use, the $597,000, if we just say that number is always going to be lower. If we looked at just the $1.2 million as the floor, the city of Camden would receive the $960,000 from us. And then we would receive the $240,000.
Got it. And it could be theoretically higher than that.
It could be theoretically higher if the gross profits of the facility are higher. And just as the $1.2 million is also CPI adjusted each year.
Okay. And the lease goes for another 20 years?
It's a 20-year renewal, correct. And that was as we had talked about previously, that was an option that we had they had the ability to opt into an additional 20 years. Mm-hmm. So it was a player's opt-in.
Any comments or questions from the board? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Antoine Johnson.
So moved, Sarla.
Okay, that'll be Charles move and Jewel to second. Any other discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the recommendation is approved. Evan, board memoranda?
I just pull it up on the script. Sorry. So this month, there are two delegated authority memos in your PACs pertaining to credit underwriting and post-closing. These memos highlight the work done behind the scenes by staff on a regular basis. So on credit underwriting projects approved under delegated authority from December 2025 to January 2026, post-closing credit delegated authority approvals for the fourth quarter in 2025. Sorry about the delay on that.
No problem. Any questions for Evan? Okay, hearing none. If there are no additional comments, I'd like to thank everybody for their participation today. I look forward to seeing everybody in person in March in Trenton, weather permitting. And could I hear a motion to adjourn?
Dragon motion.
Second, Josh?
Mm-hmm.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, and see you in March. Stay warm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Verizon Conferencing Services. You may now disconnect.